Morning, Tay.
Morning. Morning, Lizelle. How are you?
Fine, and how are you, Tayperson?
No, I'm surviving. What can I complain of?
You can't, Tayperson. You can't.
She's serious. It will run away from this. Of ours.
Exactly. We must be grateful for every day.
Yes, yeah. At least we have managed to wake up.
Exactly.
And okay, I can see that it's only
recording in progress.
And maybe let's check whether who hasn't joined and who has joined.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning,
everyone.
Good morning, Jay. Morning. We're sitting together.
Oh. With whom?
Then Iris is with me, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi, Miss Petella. Miss Petella.
I'm staying in Acacia Park now, so I'm here.
Yes,
oh. When are you going?
The two of us, if we are together, must now.
When are you going to move back to your home?
I'm waiting for the message to say we must go back to
the truck, okay, in the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They didn't send a message for me, and my number wasn't in the first lot. So I'm still
waiting
for the... Yes.
Okay. It's still on Wednesday today. Maybe Friday we get a message. Even my house is not yet delivered.
Okay. No, it's fine, Jay. Okay.
Person, we can't hear you. Person. Person.
AK has joined. If
hello, but your network, we're not hearing anything.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, for now you are. But what we were saying, we didn't get a word.
Okay, fine.
Hello, Chef.
Hello, morning. I have tried to shift and move to another area. Maybe it was because the way I have sat, in fact, I sat in an area which is at least a lower level. But now I hope everyone is able to hear me. Honorable members. Honorable members.
You are fine now, Chair. We can hear you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's start the meeting. Let us not waste time. I can see that our guest has already visited and our presenters. So let's not waste time. Let's just bow our heads and give a moment of silence for just a minute where we are. Thank you very much. The meeting is officially opened. I wish to welcome everyone in the meeting, and I also wish to welcome our presenters of the day, and I wish to tell them that they must just be free and dish all what they have thought that they have to bring to us. And we will also give our welcome and free and happy welcome because we are really excited that at last they managed to have joined the meeting. And I hope Honorable Abrams has joined us, because it has been a wish that he managed to get this presentation. As much as we know that she is on a maternity leave. And let's request Lindy to flight the agenda and give us the confirm the members that have been present, and also I will request the members when they introduce themselves, they put on their videos, and then after that they can switch off the video. Thank you very much. Over to you, honorable members. Maybe let's start by myself. The agenda is as follows: the introduction of the MPs, which is what I'm requesting us to do, the adoption of the agenda, that is the briefing by the Department of Facts, and then basic deliberations from ourselves and consideration of minutes. We'll see on how far we go with the minutes, honorable members. Looking at the time and the I might lose the network immediately after, but I will see on how to go. So there are 3 sets of minutes. Yes, and then we'll close our meeting. Thank you very much. Can I get someone who adopts the agenda as presented or as proposed?
I will move for the adoption of the agenda as tabled, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lizelle. Thank you very much. The agenda has been adopted by Honorable Van der Merwe. And then the seconder to the minute.
I second, Chair.
Oh, Honorable Gates seconds the adoption of the minute. Then let's get into the introduction.
It's not the minutes.
It's not
the minutes.
I mean the agenda. I'm sorry. Okay. It's the slip of tongue today. I am just in a hurry. I won't tell you why. But Aris and Bonit knows why I am in a hurry today. Okay.
But Chair, sorry. I think you would have to switch off your video because your connection comes and goes. So I'm thinking
I will definitely switch it off, but I wanted to introduce myself so that our visitors can see that I'm not a robot, but I am myself. That is Nonko Simvana, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Then I will give over to other members. Just open up your video and switch it off after your introduction. Thank you very much. I'm giving over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Maybe let's start with, who's this?
Morning, Chair.
Yes.
Honorable, can you see me? Honorable Aris.
Yes.
Morning.
Clearly able to see you. The next one, thank you, Honorable Aris. The next one, the next member.
Morning, Chairperson. Honorable Marissa speaking. Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Honorable Bonit. Thank you very much. Switch off the video. The next one.
Morning, Chair. And morning. Honorable members.
Yes.
My name is Kensani Bilankulu Makhabane, the member of the Portfolio
Committee.
All the way from Limpopo, Giani local municipality.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. The next one.
Close your video, please.
The next one. Is there no other member?
I won't be able to switch my gadget on my photo because I think
the administrator rejected my iPad. I was using my iPad, so I'm struggling. My name is Jane Manganya, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jane. I think that's the only member of parliament that I see on the link, unless there is one who whom I have forgotten it, but Lindy is going to assist me on that one. Also, the officials, we are a team. We've got our backup staff, which I know that Lindiwe is responsible to do that, though I know that Lindiwe is about to leave us because she is writing today. And we want to say good luck, Lindy, again. We would like you to finish up this this course with flying colors. Lindy? Jane has introduced herself. Are we a quorum?
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson and members and departmental officials in attendance. Chair, yes, we are a quorum. We have about 2, 4, 6. We have about 8 members, Chair. Member Hlongo and Member Stoke are also part of the meeting. For record purposes, I can just name the name the members that are present. It's Member Yumvana, Member Pilankulu, Member Manganye, Member Father Merve, Member Mare, Member Eris, Member Stock Chair, Member Hlongo, all members are here. So I wish to confirm that we are a quorum. We can take decisions in this meeting. Chair, I don't know whether I can proceed to record the apologies received for this meeting, Chair.
Yes, please, Lindy, continue.
Okay, Chair. We received an apology from Member Sukers, who is unable to attend today's meeting due to prior commitments. We also received an apology for Minister and Deputy Minister who are not able to attend due to the Cabinet meeting scheduled for at the same time, as well as the National Commissioner, Masemula, was unable to attend today's due to an urgent prior commitment. But the delegation is led by Lieutenant General Sibiya, who will take the committee through the presentation. From the staff of the parliament, we have the coordinator advisor, Yolisa Kanye, we have the committee researcher, Siavuya Kudula, we have the committee assistant chair, which is Fungile Bulau, and executive secretary, Thandi Mahumelela. Chair, we have a standing committee secretary, Chileka Matubeda, who will take over the shift. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lindy.
Chairperson, we can't hear you. We don't know what you are saying.
I just phoned her to notify that she is not audible. She must move to where she's sitting. Thank you very much, members. Member Stoke, are you available?
Good morning, Lindy. I'm not available. I'm sitting between two meetings. Thank you.
Hello.
I just spoken to the chairperson members. She is moving to where she was sitting to a place with better connection. Just 1 minute. Thank you very much.
In. Are you able to hear me now? Hello?
I'm audible.
Thank you very much. We were about to request subs to introduce themselves. I know that in general you have been introduced, but let's get more about you so as to give you a chance to present.
Morning, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members.
Morning, General.
I'm Lieutenant General Sibiya, and I'll be leading the delegation. With me, I have Major General Pinar, who will be taking us through the presentation together with Major General Sikukuni, who will be also giving the statistics, as well as Brigadier Kudu talk about management as to our programs and how many people have we arrested, where and where are those people, all that. But for now, without any waste of time, I just want to say, Chair, that crimes against women and children remains a heartbreaking challenge to us at the South African Police Service. And as a result, we have really put it on our front list where we know that it is a priority and a pressing priority. That matter.
Mm.
Now, General Pinar will take over, Chair, to just take us through and be able to inform the committee as to what programs are we busy with and what is it that we are doing in terms of visible policing, crime prevention, all those issues. Chair. Thank you, Chair. With your permission, can I give over to General Pinar, Chair?
Is it Pinar? General Pinar?
Yes,
okay.
Chair.
Okay. Let's give over to him or, and then are you able to fly to the presentation? Will you be able to fly?
We should, Chair. I was told there's someone responsible for that. We know who's responsible for flying in the presentation. Okay,
okay,
there we go.
Okay. Then can we request Lindy to be recused? And then Chilega takes over in terms of the proceedings, and also she will be able to like the presentation. Okay. Lindy, you are being excused. Good luck for your exam.
Thank you very much. Nathan Mlambo is presenting, is writing the presentation. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Good morning, Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, honourable members. I'm Major General Pinar. I just want to check if I'm audible before I proceed with the presentation.
Yes, you are audible, Colonel. Can you also get proceed, General?
Thank you very much. Honourable Chairperson, my presentation is going to start this morning. I'm going to focus on the purpose and the background, the mandate of the police in terms of the violence and murder of children. And then I'm going to hand over to Major General Sikukuni, who's going to present on the statistics. So So if I can go to the table of contents, our presentation is going to cover the purpose of the presentation, the background and mandate, statistics involving violence against children, investigations and convictions, programs and interventions that we have in place to prevent, collaboration with other environments, departments and civil society, and then the conclusion of the presentation. If we may go to the next slide, please. I'm not going to speak to this in detail. We can go to the next slide. Our purpose of the presentation is to brief the committee on the background mandate and of the police in terms of dealing with violence against children, as well as the statistics involved and the investigation of those cases, and then the programs and interventions we have in place to prevent violence and murder of children, violence against and murder of children. If we can go to the background and the mandate, children in South Africa live in a society with a constitution that has the highest regard for their rights and for the equality and dignity of everyone, protecting
Chairperson.
Hello, I'm waiting for the general.
Okay, I thought I was lost.
No,
thanks.
You are not. You are back. Thank you very much for waiting for your presentation. Continue.
Thank you.
And you said you are General Banikanin. The name?
I am Major General Pina. I'm
Major
not sure at what
General
point.
Pina. Okay.
Thank you.
Continue.
Thank you. So I was on the background and the mandate and ended with the police mandate, which is specifically to prevent, combat and investigate crime and protect and secure the inhabitants, including the children of South Africa. If we can go to the next slide. We get our mandate from the Children's Act as well, and I'm not going to go through this in detail, as I'm sure this committee knows all of this very well. But that also defines when a child is a child in need of care and protection, and that includes specifically children who are abused, neglected, exploited, working and living on the streets, and those involved in substance abuse. We also get specific obligations relating to children from the Domestic Violence Act of 1998, as amended in 2023, and the Criminal Law Amendment Act that deals with sexual offences and related matters, the Child Labour Programme of Action and the Child Justice Act. Then on our next slide, we have specific national instructions that speak to the responsibilities of police from this legislation. We give the SAPS members detailed instructions in the form of national instructions. So some of those national instructions that play a role is National Instruction 2 of 2019 that speaks to the Family Violence, Child Protection and Sexual Offences Investigation Unit. And that provides for the mandate of the SCS to provide a sensitive and effective service to victims and to conduct quality investigations of, amongst others, the murder and attempted murder of family-related crimes, kidnapping of children, and all sexual offences related under the criminal law dealing with sexual offences and related matters. This is important because the police has that specialised environment that looks specifically with children's cases. And so they specialise to deal with child victims and the context of children's cases. In support of the Children's Act, the police developed the National Instruction 3 of 2010 on the care and protection of children. And we also have detailed directives to police members in support of the sexual offences legislation. And in terms of the FCS investigation specifically, they deal with the coordination and support of investigations that impact on family violence, child protection and sexual offences, serial and electronic FTS investigation, gender-based violence and operational support and administration and forensic social work. Then on the next slide, I'm going to hand over to Major General Sipapune, who is the Prime Registrar of the Police, and he is going to give you the presentation in terms of the crime against children. I'm just going to pass over the computer.
Good morning, honorable members. Can I confirm that I am visible and my presentation is visible, and also that the presentation is there?
Okay. Will you be able to introduce yourself first?
Okay. I thought General Pinares already done that for me, but then... Okay, I'll do that as directed, Honorable Chair. My name is Major General Sipapune. I am responsible for the crime statistics of the South African Police Service. I am the component head crime register.
Okay, continue.
Thanks, Chairperson. The brief indicated was that we should prepare a presentation that cover mostly crimes against the children for the financial year 2022-2023. We also did the comparison between the 2021-2022 and the 2022-2023 financial year. We focus on what we call the contact crimes because of the nature that most of the crimes that affect the children are those that fall within the category of the contact crimes. We looked at the four crimes, which are your murder, attempted murder, assault GBH, and common assault, specifically relating to instances where the victims were children in accordance with the Child Act. Now, for the murders for the 2021-2022 financial year, can we go back to that slide? Because it gives the overview. Yeah, we see that for the murders, we had a count difference of less than 79, which is color-coded green, because it's the view that when it's color-coded green, it indicates a reduction, and when it's color-coded red, it indicates an increase. So for the murders, even though we recorded a decrease of 79 in terms of the murders, we had recorded 1,194 murders where the victims were children. For attempted murders, we had 1,427, which resulted in 56 more counts. And then for assault GBH, we had a reduction of 30 counts, whereby we recorded 7,545. Common assault, we recorded an increase of 838. And the total number of counts of incidents of common assault where the victims were children was 12,106. Then in the next slide, we go into the breakdown in terms of the specific crimes that I had spoken to, also doing a provincial comparison. So this slide, we start with the murders. It's worth noting that on the left-hand side of this graph, we have a color code, which is, I think it's goldish. It indicates the figures that were reported for the same crime in the previous financial year. And the color coding that is blue, it indicates the figures that were recorded for the specific crimes for the current financial year. And then we have the provincial breakdown. And then at the end there, we have the cumulative for the whole of South Africa. What we observed from this slide is that we had increases that were reported in three of the provinces, whereby in the Eastern Cape, we had 67 more children that were killed. That is from 185 in the previous financial year to 252 in the current, resulting in a 36.2% increase. in the Gauteng province, which is number three, we had 58 more children that were killed, where we moved from 155 in the previous financial year to 213 currently, resulting in a 37.4% increase. In the Free State, we had 20 more children that were killed from 77 to 97, resulting in a 26% increase. The provinces that recorded the decreases are indicated with the green color coding, whereby the highest decrease was recorded in the provinces of KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape, whereby they each recorded 65 less more murders when compared to the previous comparable period. In KwaZulu-Natal, we had 327 children that were killed, and in the Western Cape, we had 172 children that were killed. Limpopo was the second highest reduction after both the KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape, whereby in Limpopo, we had 55 counts less in terms of the children that were killed, and then we moved from 86 to 31. The Northern Cape had the least number of murders that were reported in the current financial year, whereby in this particular province, we had 14 children that were murdered. And then for the national, we had 1,194, as was indicated in the previous slide. Next slide, please. In the next slide, we tried to look at the selected child-related circumstances or causes. We looked at the circumstances that were indicated by province in terms of what led to the death of a child. On the left-hand side, we have the circumstances ranging from child abuse, concealment of birth, domestic dispute, all the way down up to vigilantism or mob justice. I will touch only on a few of these. What we observe is that of the children that were killed, 21 were as a result of a domestic dispute. That will be instances whereby the people who had killed these children had some kind of a domestic relationship between the perpetrator and the victim, either as a mother, a father, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, etc. Where the most of these domestic violence-related murders were recorded in the province of Gauteng, which recorded 7 counts, and then the Northwest was the second highest, which recorded 5 counts. Then we had it in Mpopo, which indicated that 3 of the murders of children were as a result of domestic dispute, and then the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape had 2 counts each attributable to these criteria of a domestic dispute. We also had children who were victims as a result of arguments or misunderstanding, whereby it was indicated that 54 of the children died because of incidents emanating from arguments or misunderstanding. Most of these were recorded in the Eastern Cape province, where we had 16 of the murders attributable to arguments, and then the Western Cape, we had 14 of the murders attributable to arguments, and in KwaZulu-Natal, we had 10. We also had 38 murders that were as a result of gang-related, whereby all these gang-related murders were those that happened in the province of the Western Cape. This would be instances whereby children who are younger than 18 are members of a gang, and then as a result of a gang fight or territorial fight because of the gangs, they would then end up being killed. And in some instances, of course, this would be children that were killed in the crossfire when the gangs are maybe fighting for territory, etc. Then we also lastly have 3 murders that were rape-related. This would be instances whereby a child was raped and then subsequently murdered, or the other way around, whereby 2 of these were reported in the province of KwaZulu-Natal and 1 was in the Western Cape. Then we also had 15 incidents which were as a result of vigilantism, and most of these was in the province of the Eastern Cape, which recorded 7 counts. Then in KwaZulu-Natal, we had 4 counts of children murdered as a result of vigilantism. Next slide. Then we tried to also go into the a few of these cases whereby we felt that maybe they can also further indicate the circumstances that we had talked about. At the top there, we have a domestic dispute. This was an incident whereby four children aged between 11 and 2, between the ages 11 and 2, were killed with a hammer while were sleeping, and all of the four children died. This was reported in a Ngobo station, and the perpetrator of such a heinous crime was the mother of the children. Then another domestic dispute. This was the instance whereby the mother poisoned her husband and also the three children. As a result of the poisoning, the father and two of the children passed on, and then one child survived. And you will notice there on the column where we indicate number of victims, even though I indicated that three people died, we're only focusing on the instances where the victims were children. So even though the father died, but because this presentation focuses only on children, that's why it indicated that two victims were as a result of this poisoning. This happened in Bethlehem, as I've indicated. The perpetrator of this crime was the mother. Then we also had an incident whereby three children aged between 16 and 6 died after consuming an energy drink which was given to them by their father. All the three children died, and this was reported in the station called Rotunda. So these are the circumstances. I believe that it gives the committee an idea in terms of the circumstances whereby most of these children succumb. As you can see, it mostly has to do with either the father or the mother being the victim, but these are not only exclusively to those, because we had instances whereby there was a robbery related. That is the second from the bottom there, that was in Nanda, in whereby the perpetrator was the stranger. The victim was at home with a friend when the suspect broke into the house, shot her, and stole some items in the house. So that was a robbery-related incident whereby a child succumbed as a result of the gunshot injuries. Then in the next slide, we go into the other crimes. We covered the murders. Now going down to the attempted murders, mostly of the circumstances that relate to the murders, mostly are almost similar to those that are also encountered when we look at the attempted murders. So we did not go into the details in terms of the attempted murders, because mostly they are almost similar to those that are reflected in terms of the murders. So in terms of the attempted murders, only two provinces recorded decreases, which was the Northwest and the Western Cape, and the highest decrease was recorded in the Western Cape, whereby we had the 145 less children that were killed in the current period compared to the previous period, whereby in the previous period we had 524 and currently we have 379. In the Northwest, we moved from 46 to 43, resulting in a case difference of three. The Free State was the one that recorded the highest in terms of the case difference, or the more cases that were killed, whereby we attempted murders, whereby we had 56 more attempted murders. Then in the next slide, Assault GBH, we only look at the provincial breakdown. The provinces that recorded decreases was the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape. And the province that recorded the highest decrease was the Eastern Cape, which recorded 59 counts less. And then the second highest was the Western Cape with 33 counts less. Then Limpopo, 19 counts less. Northern Cape, 14 counts less. And Mpumalanga, 13 counts less. The one that recorded the highest increase was the Free State, which recorded 51 counts more compared to the previous period. For the country, we had 30 counts less for assault GBH. Then a common assault, the only province that recorded a decrease was in the Free State, where we had 48 counts less. All the other provinces recorded increases. Next. I guess that sums the statistics for children for the period in the previous financial year. I'll hand over to Brigadier Podomo to take us.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair and all Honourable Members, General Sibiya and Major General that are in our midst. I'm Brigadier Podomo. I'm going to present in terms of the presentation the financial year of 2021-2022, the conviction and notable sentences that were achieved in relation to crimes against women and children, where we have achieved between the year of 1 to 20 years and above, we managed to achieve 19,697 of years of imprisonment handed down to 1,705 accused persons in 1,830 cases. And in relation to life sentences that we achieved, it was 401 life imprisonment handed down to 265 accused persons in 318 cases. And as we move on to the previous financial year of 2022-2023, the convictions and notable sentences in relation to crimes against women and children. For between the year of 1 to 20 years and above, we have achieved 15,864 of years imprisonment, which were handed down to 1,400 accused persons in 1,591 cases. And for the life sentences, we achieved 450
Chairperson?
Hello?
We can't hear now. We cannot hear.
All right.
Brigadier is very much soft. I can't hear.
Okay, sir, I'll try to go closer to the mic.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The presentation
that I was... Where are you, Brigadier?
Brigadier.
Slide number 21. Yeah, just move a little bit. Your network is having a problem.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, sir, thank you very much. I was presenting in terms of the serial rapists that were arrested and convicted in the year 2022-2023, where we have a total number of 113 serial rapists that were arrested in 407 cases. And in terms of the convictions, we have a total of 60 serial rapists that were convicted, that were given 2,687. I think, Honorable Chair, maybe we are having connection problem here. Am I audible enough?
For now, you are audible. Continue.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I was giving a presentation on the serial rapist, the conviction, to say we have 60 that were convicted and given 2,687 imprisonment and 136 life sentences in 265 cases there, Honorable Mayor. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll hand back to General Pina.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm just going to continue with the programs and interventions. The programs that the ECPS is currently busy with includes the development of a regulated framework that's handled mostly by our legal and policy services. That includes, for instance, the national instructions we issue to members. It includes the training of members in dealing with crimes involving children, which is dealt with through the Division of Human Resource Development. Then we have our children's prevention programs, which focuses a lot on the children's program and the safe schools programs led by Division Visible Policing and Operations. This includes also the awareness programs during Child Protection Weeks and the rest of the year, which we do also with the assistance and I think the leadership of the Minister and the Deputy Minister of Police that leads community Izimbizo and drugs and school safety on all over the country on a regular basis. Then we have, if I can go to the next slide, the interventions. From national level, provincial level and district level, we also do compliance inspections at police stations to check on the police station's compliance to the applicable regulatory framework regarding the handling of children and the adherence to the administrative processes in handling of children in need of emergency protection and care and also child offenders. We do docket inspection and guidance on investigations. We have the forensic social work services, which are registered with the South African Council for Social Service Professions, and police forensic social worker, the forensic social workers play a very important role to assist us in dealing with crimes involving children in respect of two aspects. In partnership with our Human Resource Development Division, they train our members in how to interview child victims and in understanding the developmental stages of children so that when they deal with cases involving children, they know how to engage with children and child victims. Then they also work in partnership with the National Prosecuting Authority to train professionals in the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster in interviewing child victims and understanding the developmental stages of children. So our forensic social workers not only provide a service internally in the police, but also to our sister departments in the cluster. Then if we can go to the next slide, the SAP's Children's Program is an integrated program intended to provide a platform at local level to key government stakeholders, community members and civil society to engage, collaborate and find ways and integrated interventions to prevent and combat crimes against children that are impacting on the community. This program is focused on the establishment and maintenance of child committees at the police station. In order to identify children at risk of crime, indicate the factors that place them at risk, whether that entails to the child's living conditions, like living in the streets, whether the child is maybe not going to school, and then to ensure that they're handed over to the appropriate officials who can then intervene in those factors that places them at risk. We've identified hotspot police stations that is informed by the levels of crime reported involving children. And then these children's committees are composed of the police, the Department of Social Development, Department of Health, Department of Basic Education, the Community Police Forum, the faith-based organizations, and other community-based structures that are present in that specific police station area. The committees are established at the police stations, are led by the police, and to date, we've established 24 of these children's committees. The children's program is geared to build a sustainable partnership between the police, other departments, and the community in the interest of child safety. Then if we go to the next slide, we speak to Child Protection Week and Awareness Programs. We, as the police, participate annually in Child Protection Week to raise awareness on initiatives led by the Department of Social Development. But we also do awareness raising on an ongoing basis, addressing any emerging trends and tendencies that make children particularly vulnerable to becoming crime victims. We also work closely with the Department of Basic Education for the implementation of the school safety program. And this program includes crime awareness, responding to safety concerns at the school, conducting searches at the school for drugs and weapons. If the school requests us to do so, we always do that with the school. We don't do that on our own. We work with our school's liaison officers that can provide assistance to address children on the risk and emerging trends that make them vulnerable and to give information on how to build resilience against becoming child offenders or victims. Then our Child Protection Week awareness programs, I just want to give some feedback on the number of programs that we've engaged with the Department of Basic Education. At the priority schools, we've identified 200 priority schools where the focus is on substance abuse, bullying, gangsterism and carrying dangerous weapons, as well as sexual offences. In the Eastern Cape, we implemented 30 programs, in the Free State 20, in Gauteng 22, with the KwaZulu-Natal also 30, Limpopo 22, Mpumalanga 20, Northern Cape 16 programs, Northwest 20 and the Western Cape 20. And then we have ministerial community SMBs on drugs and school safety on a regular basis. Our next slide speaks to the collaboration between the police and other service providers. Go to the next slide, please. The police is represented on the National Child Care and Protection Forum that is led by the Department of Social Development. Other key departments that compose the forum are the NPA, Basic Education, Health, Home Affairs and the Judiciary. UNICEF is a multinational body represented on the committee, and the purpose of the committee is to implement the provisions of the Children's Act, basically oversee the implementation of the Children's Act by all the departments. NGOs that are advisory form part of the committee on an ad hoc basis, and they include Save the Children South Africa, the Teddy Bear Clinic, NICRO-COLISA, the Red Cross and Childline. SAPS is also represented on the National Technical Intersectoral Child Justice Steering Committee led by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, which also work closely with the NPA Social Development Correctional Services and the DBE and Health, as well as Legal Aid South Africa. And the purpose of that committee is to implement the provisions of the Child Justice Act and again monitor the implementation by all the government departments of the Child Justice Act. NGOs form part of the implementation of the children's program at schools, at district and local level as determined by the availability of localized NGOs. Then our next slide, just in conclusion, Honourable Chairperson and members, the SAPS is committed to providing victim-centered services that provide specifically for the needs of the most vulnerable group, including children. To this end, the police works closely with our sister departments, as I've just outlined, and our relationship, particularly with the Department of Basic Education and Social Development, is very important from a crime prevention perspective, to ensure that police is part of an early intervention approach in the interest of dealing both with child victims and child offenders. I conclude. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Chair.
Thank you. Yes.
Just as a parting shot, in terms of closing the presentation, Chair, I want to say that the South African Police Service, we have entered a very busy and challenging part of the year. On our side, and we are determined to ensure that all people in South Africa are safe. So our nation, we have launched a national safer festive season operation. We started last week, and the theme is combating crime through decisive police action, robust community involvement. So now the launch of these operations took place last week Friday in Cape Town, where 36 high-performance vehicles were also entered so that we can also attend to this type of crimes that include vulnerable kids like this one. We just hope that the procurement of this vehicle also will also assist in fighting and deterring all forms of criminality. But in conclusion, Chair, I want to say that this year's festive season operations have 7 focus areas, of which focus area number 1, we have rolled out campaigns in which police are focusing on the prevention of gender-based violence and homicide, including ensuring that all members of vulnerable groups are protected. And in
conclusion, I just want to say that I just want to say, Chair, that through our operation, we've launched Operation Chanel, that is on the way. We continue to yield positive results to date. More than 180,000 suspects have been arrested for various crimes ranging from murder, rape, and including the gender-based violence. Yeah, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. For the presentation. I hope you are, that you are done now. Are you done now?
We are done, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All the presenters, we wish to thank them for their presentation, but I'll give over to the honorable members to engage with your presentation. Otherwise, it was good.
Chairperson, just note my end as well, as I cannot raise it on Honorable Marie's schedule.
Okay, let's start with Honorable Marie, and then followed by you, and then followed by Lizelle.
Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, sorry, it's Honorable Aris, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I want to thank the police for the presentation. Chairperson, I have noted that most of the kids murdered are in the Western Cape. And was this kid, I want to find out if this kid was part of gangsterism. And I want to find out from the police what anti-gangsterism do they have in place to get these kids out of gangsterism. And then on page 15 or slide 15, the attempted murder. I've noted it is an increase in nearly 7 provinces and only Northwest and Western Cape. And I want to know what's the reason for this drastic increase. And then on slide 17, common assault. I have seen it is except for the Free State that have not increased. And then on slide 20, the children that have received life sentences. And if the police can just give us an indication what was the biggest transgression of these life sentences. I have to mention the only time that I truly see the police are doing programs is this of the Child Protection Week, where you see the police are very actively visible with the children, but I not really see any other programs other than that. Then, Chairperson, even though it is a strategy for violence and murder, as the presenter did indicate on their presentation. However, I feel that violence and murder of children, I feel that we don't see statistics, and this is a thing that has drastically increased in the country, the child trafficking. We want to see the statistics on that. Because the other thing is that children get sold. These days you see on the social media that there are people that are selling their children. We don't see statistics because our children get exposed to pornographic on the social media, pornographic exposure. That's it. We must see the statistics apart from bullying at school that caused murder. We must see the general statistics of bullying, because that's also a problem that we see in the country. And then, Chairperson, I'm not sure, because there was a presentation at some point made in the police where they indicate there were 6 rapes in daycare. There was 55 rapes and 7 murders in school. And when I look at the statistics that the police have presented to us, it differs from what they have presented to the portfolio. There was 5 rapes in special needs school, and there was 2 murders and rape in tertiary institutions. So I want to check why is the statistics that they present now to us, and this presentation was sometime in August, it was presented to the portfolio. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes,
I also would like to say thank you to the police for coming in, because our children are the most vulnerable
Jay, I just want to find out from the police, how many of these children that are in jail are there because of drug abuse? Because you see a lot of children breaking in, you know, stealing, and then they get caught, they go to jail. And sometimes the family don't have money to get them out. So do they have a statistic how many children are there because of drugs? And then if you look at killings, the killings that is so high, do they know when the killings are is happening? Is it because of drug problems? Is it because of circumstances or whatever the case may be? But for children to be in jail, 1,273 because of murder, I mean, that is alarming. What is happening to our children? I also would like to say that the killings in the KZN is the highest and then the Western Cape. This is not for children, but if you look every week on TV, you will see in the Western Cape, someone was, 3, 4, 5 people were shot dead. But you never see on TV that they have caught the murderers or anything like that. In KZN, it's the same story. It's like killing is like normal. And now it's rubbing up to the children, and the children are doing exactly the same thing. So that is a very huge concern when it comes to our children. And then we look at common assault. This is because you're assaulting a person over 7,000. I mean, common assault on children. I mean, what is happening to our society? And then, my problem that I'm having and also concern that I want to raise is that you see more and more policemen are killing their children, then killing the wife, and then killing themselves. What is happening? Is the police having some sort of counseling that they are giving these police because they're working with a lot of stress, killings every day, and this type of thing? Because it's happening on a regular basis. Police have been killed in Tavern where they are drinking, you know. They have their guns with them and they get killed in that instance. And when the wife and the husband fight, they will not kill the children and then themselves and the wife. So I'm just having a concern that this thing of killing of children is becoming a crisis now. So I just want to find out, what is the police doing about this thing? And what are they doing about the drug abuse? Because the drug abuse is the main culprit of all the society ills that we are having at the very moment, Jefferson. Because people will steal, they will break, they will kill, because they need to have another fix so that they can just feel better. So I don't know, because the police are saying they go around to schools. Like my children's school, it used to happen once in a while. The police will pop up. The principal will arrange the police. They will get knives and dagger and whatever. But it happened in the most in the Model C schools, private Model C schools. But in the township school, you don't see it happen all the time. And that is a school where they're even selling drugs. The children of 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I see it in my area, where children go to school in the morning, 8, 9, 10, smoking dagger along the road, you know. They're selling sweets and chips at the school, but in the meantime, they're selling dagger to the children. What are the police doing about that thing? I just need to know about that. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much for it. And then, followed by Honorable Mayor.
Thank you very much, Jefferson.
And Honorable Mangani.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson, and good morning to yourself and our colleagues and our guests from the South African Police Service. Chairperson, I think the point must be made at the outset that clearly our interventions are not working if we see the alarming statistics in terms of the rape, murder, and just abuse of children. And I think, you know, it really, we are tasked to protect the most vulnerable in our society, and especially children who cannot speak for themselves. And then if you think about the fact that about 3 children are murdered every day, clearly we need to do more, not only as members of parliament, but as a society. And then if you look at the slide where we talk about convictions, and you compare that to the actual stats on the crimes, you know, it doesn't add up. And also just again speaks to the fact that the system are failing our children. And, you know, I sometimes wish that child protectors, we spend a lot on these weeks, you know, your child protection week. But, for example, considering the levels of crime against children in our society, those type of interventions must happen on a weekly basis.
But, Chairperson, if you look at the statistics, I'll get to my questions. So, obviously, the crime against children are most prevalent in three provinces, and it's in the Western Cape, it's KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape. And we talk about, we've identified, or SAP says they've identified hotspot police stations. I would like to know, with regard to these hotspot police stations, whether they deploy any social workers to these hotspot police stations, because we talk a lot about the deployment of social workers, the need for social workers to be deployed to schools, but also police stations where social ills are prevalent. So I want to know whether any of these hotspot police stations have got the social workers employed. Then with regards to the role and responsibilities of the family violence, child protection, sexual violence units that are located within SAPS, I want to know what is the daily operation of these units, whether they are also deployed to the hotspot areas, how many staff members do these units have? I wanted to also ask, you know, children, when they are vulnerable and they're being abused, they don't have access. They can't just get into a car and get to a police station. So I would like to know whether the SAPS have considered a toll-free number or a WhatsApp number where children could be able to reach the police if they are in need of assistance. Then on the issue of child trafficking, which has been raised, but of course recently I think the Minister of Social Development and the Minister of Police, in answering one of my written questions, have acknowledged that child trafficking and the sale of children, especially the sale of children on social media platforms, are increasing, and child trafficking is a crisis. We're going into a December period where children will not be at school. They will be in communities and at home. So I want to know if SAPS have got a specific plan for this December holiday period in terms of specifically combating child trafficking. I noted that Minister Becky Cele, in my response, has said that they were in the process of acquiring software that would allow the police to monitor social media in order for them to pick up instances where children are being sold. And I want to know whether the presenters are aware of whether they've made any headway in this regard. And then, Chairperson, I think also we've seen of late, you know, there's a lot of media coverage, especially around the issue of fake counterfeit goods being sold to our children. It is killing our children. You know, cookies and biscuits that are being procured mostly by illegal produced by mostly illegal or undocumented migrants being sold to our children. And again, I want to ask whether the police are specifically targeting these syndicates that are selling goods to our children that are killing them. And Chairperson, I hope at one stage we will also get to interact, and I think we are going to interact with the Department of Education at one point, but I think a lot of work needs to be done at schools, where children are, of course, you know, taught about their rights and how to access help when they need it. And finally, Chairperson, I am also going to just say that, again, you know, we need to look into the issue of baby savers, which is, and I know the police often work with organizations that have got baby savers. Baby savers have been outlawed in Gauteng now, and that will again lead to more women having to abandon their babies, which again will lead to more children ending up on these on our statistics. So it's something that we need to look into. But those are my questions for now. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson.
Hello, yes, Chair. I was just checking you were not around. Because she has finished. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable, let's keep her stock and also follow. Honorable Mangani.
No, you call Honorable Stock, so I'm waiting for you.
Yes, it's fine. Let's start with Honorable Stock and also followed by you, Honorable Mangani.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also join my colleagues to just greet the stakeholders, the Deputy National Commissioner, my colleagues also in the platform, the different stakeholders, including Minister of Social Development, Minister Lindiwe Zulu, who's also part of the meeting, and then the team from the National Department of Social Development. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity. I think I also need to start just to appreciate the fact that from the presentation that was actually presented to us just now, recently, there's a reduction in the number of children murdered, which is an indication of a reduction of almost 20%. But however, one remains concerned by the overall persistence of the crimes against children, which are actually taking place throughout the country in our different provinces on a number of, on a daily basis, actually. And then in particular, one is also concerned about the minimal decrease of only 0.3% in the victims of serious assault, and the increase in attempted murders by almost approximately by 8.8% to 360 cases. And then one also needs to appreciate, Honorable Chairperson, the implications of the increased convictions, which has actually been reported to us today, that there has been an increase in the number of convictions from those that have been charged for crimes against children. And then we also need to applaud the South African Police Service for a job well done, and also trying to deal with these crimes against children throughout our country. So I've got a few questions which I want to pose, Honorable Chairperson. And the first one is that violence and crime patterns in the country are disproportionately skewed against the persons with disabilities, the homeless, the poor, and the black communities in particular. So I would like to find out from the South African Police Services how mechanisms being strengthened to empower all children, particularly those which are more prone to be victims of abuse, to identify and report crime where it's actually taking place. And then I would also like to find out that the research indicates that children who experience violence are more likely to be violent towards their own partners and children in adulthood. So I would like to find out, in terms of the statistics, which are actually showing that 360 children survive attempted murders, and approximately about 1,931 suffered from assaults. Therefore, how are we evaluating the impact of the psychological and emotional support offered to children to ensure that we break the cycle of violence? And then I would also like to find out, what are the findings on the impact of the rehabilitation programs for perpetrators in deterring the repeat offenders, the offenses that are actually being repeatedly committed towards the crimes against children? And then lastly, Honorable Chairperson, the stats also indicate that the arguments, or rather the misunderstandings, were leading motives towards child murderers. So I would like to find out from the South African Police what strategies are being leveraged to support families and communities with a better conflict resolution strategies, as well as addressing the underlying socio-economic factors which leads to violence such as poverty, and improve access to mental and emotional support services. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's my contribution. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Honourable Mangani.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to all, my colleague, the department, everyone who's in the meeting. Thank you very much. Mine is just short. Many members have already covered me, but I must also appreciate to have this kind of report that we are getting today from the police. Their program, when we look at them, when they present, it shows that something can happen. So I want to know about this, because one of their tasks is to also do the awareness with the family, violence, child protection, and sexual offenders. So I want to know, when are they, how often are they holding this? Or for the family violence, are they waiting for something to happen, maybe in the family to happen, is whereby they chip in by educating them, or what happened? And then the other thing I want to know, they used to have a school program that says adopt a cop, adopt the school. So I want to know how far, because nowadays I don't see it like I did before in the school where we visited. I don't see, especially where I come from in Moses Kotane, Northwest Province, I don't see this happening often. Maybe I will see it in two or three schools that they continuously come, but in most cases, in most schools, I don't see them. The other one is this one of the roll out campaign. I want to know, are you waiting only for the minister and the deputy minister to come, or do you have this program in the provinces, in all the provinces? If you have, which one province that is not having it, is not doing well? So I wanted to know those questions. Anyway, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mangani. Is Honourable hands up or Honourable Gage? Any questions?
Mine is up, Chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think, Commissioner, the questions are enough for now. But I'm also interested in the Eastern Cape where you said, yes?
Sorry, Chair, I'm saying my hand is up. It's Honourable Tom.
Chair, you are gone again. Chair? Chairperson?
Hello.
You are gone.
Are you able to hear Honorable Nsongo?
Yes. Sorry, Chair. I think your network has a problem, but I'll proceed. It's Honorable Nsongo. Greetings, members on the platform, the minister, and the SAPS department. Chair, let me first welcome the presentations by SAPS and ask a few questions regarding the safety of our children and their protection as well. My first question to SAPS would be, in the previous financial year, it was noted that there were challenges with the 10111 management call center, with about 26.44% of dropped or abandoned calls, and an average response time of about 8 minutes to 35 minutes. How has this been addressed in the current financial year to increase public faith in SAP and ensure children and citizens can efficiently reach authorities in cases of emergency? Secondly, KZN and Limpopo has recorded low rates in murders. What are the key drivers of success drivers in lowering murders rates in KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo? And then thirdly, what has been the performance and strategy implication of the additional financial allocation for strengthening FCS units in provinces such as the Eastern Cape, which demonstrated a spike in child murders? Fourthly, what leakages exist between the 24 established children committees for research and the best practice information sharing? And then lastly, Chairperson, what partnerships has been established and are being pursued to strengthen strategies against digital crimes such as cyberbullying, child pornography, and luring children for human trafficking? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nsongo. I think we're done with the questioning. Can we give over to the commissioner, and then he will distribute the answers or questions to the relevant brigadiers and colonels, all those. Let's give over to him so that he can distribute the questions accordingly.
Thank you, Chair. We are going to try and respond to a number of questions and some of your comments.
Excuse me, Commissioner. I just want to ask about Eastern Cape. Is the number of the youth that has increased, whether includes the one of Inyoba? You remember that crisis that happened in East London, in Eastern Cape, where you would, died in a tavern called Inyoba in East London. Can you also answer that question, whether is it included in this 16 or it is not? Because I know for a fact that those kids or those youth were 21 in total. Whether it's not included or still included, can I get also that? Thank you. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Our statistician, General Sikukuni, will be able to actually respond to that. However, what I was saying, Chair, is that there's been a number of questions asked, and some of which were comments, and we were trying to write as fast as we can in terms of capturing. We have captured some of the questions, and some we might have left. Where we didn't respond adequately, Chair, maybe we will be reminded, but we'll try our best to respond. I just want to start by giving an opportunity to Brigadier Pudumo to come and just say what she has to say in terms of where she's responding, and then the rest of the generals will also respond, then I'll cover up almost whatever that is outstanding, Chair. Brigadier Pudumo.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll also try my level best to answer to the questions that were raised. The first question is in relation to the transgression on life sentences. Chair, when I presented this, the convictions that were achieved, I highlighted that these convictions were emanating from crimes against women and children, and mainly is on sexual offenses and murder and child pornography. There was also a question that was, or concern that were raised in terms of children being exposed to pornography. And when I look at the question, what I'm going to say here that relates to that is that because there are other questions that were asked, what is FCS doing in terms of empowering children? I must indicate that within the FCS environment, we have a section that is responsible for serial and electronic crime investigation. They are responsible for child pornography,
And what we are doing, we are doing the awareness campaign, identifying the school and making those awareness in terms of the online child pornography and the safety tips. This is one of our functions as FCS, that we need to go out there to the community and educate them. And where we are seeing that when we do that, in return, some of the crimes increases. Because when we are at school, we will also pick up that there will be children that will be afraid to actually tell or say something, but after we left, then we'll see the cases being reported. So the awareness campaign is one of the functions that the FCS is responsible for, to make sure that our children out there, they become aware of the services that are in place and how can we assist them to make sure that they receive justice. And then the other question that was raised is in relation to the daily operation of FCS. The FCS, we have nationally 176 FCS units that are serving all the police stations in the country. Then we have also 9 units, the SECI unit that I have just mentioned now, which is the Serial and Electronic Crime Investigation in all 9 provinces. So in total, we are having 185 FCS units. And in terms of personnel, by the end of September this year, we were sitting at 2,331 members. And the question, the mechanism to empower children, I have already alluded in terms of what are we doing as SAPS. The awareness campaign is the mechanism that we are doing to educate our community out there to come forth and report to the police so that we can investigate and they can receive justice. And in terms of the counseling of children, among part of our functions as FCS, we work together hand in hand with the Department of Social Development. So our victims that are sexually abused, we refer them to DSD for counseling. Within the FCS, we have a section that is called forensic social workers, but they are not responsible for counseling of these children. What they do is to assist the investigating officer in terms of assessment, in terms of children that are not able to disclose. They will then assess the child for the child at the end of the benefit to disclose what happened, so that we can have a statement from the victim that will be able to also identify the perpetrator and investigate the matter forward. So we are working hand in hand with the social development for counseling. And the issue on the repeat offenders on crimes against children is we have the mechanism in place that we are from time to time monitoring those repeat offenders. Some of them will pick them up through the DNA linkages, and some of them will pick it up through the modus operandi. But that's what we are doing. We are looking at it. And then I've already mentioned strategy to assist the family to address. This is the responsibility that the DSP is responsible for in terms of giving counseling. We, from our part, when we get those cases, we even giving them information in terms of the assistance that are available. If there's a need to refer any family member to anywhere that they need it, so we do it as a SAPS, we advise them where to go. Then also question number 5, the awareness campaign, are the FCS conducting awareness campaign? Yes, as I alluded earlier, it's one of our functions. We are doing it, and we are not doing it only when it is the 16 days or the child protection week. We are doing it on monthly basis and going out to the schools and also the community in the area. So this is one of the functions that the FCS is responsible for. I Thank you very much, General. I think that's covered.
General Sikukuni will just quickly take us through. Over to you, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will try as much as possible to try and answer the questions that are related to the statistics. Where I might have missed something, I would urge the committee to remind me if it needs to be answered, and then I'll do my best to answer that. I think what the stats as a whole present, especially those crimes that had to do with what is called the contact crimes, what you see being reflected within the crimes against children, it's almost the same phenomenon that we have observed when we do the stats for the general population as a whole. And you'll see that in the quarterly crime stats, where we try to look at instances or places where most of these crimes are happening, whereby we took samples of the murders, attempted murders, and assault GBH, we observed that especially in the quarter one cell that we presented, most of the murders, attempted murders, and assault GBH, especially in quarter one, we saw that most happened in the public places, that is your recreational centers, parkings, and abandoned buildings. The second highest was the murder specifically, which happened mostly in the residences of the perpetrator, the victims, including residences known by the victims or perpetrators. And then if you look into the slide on slide 13, where I indicated that some are domestic related, we had 7 murders that happened because the perpetrator was either the father or the mother. So most of these murders, if you find they have a social nature within it, they are perpetrated by people, and in instances where the children should feel safe when they are around those people. But unfortunately, that's not the case, as we have seen that is the fathers and the mothers. We also observe that another place where most of the murders are happening, which might also relate to the issue of the liquor licenses, etc., they happen also in liquor outlets, like, for instance, Shebeens, taverns, pubs, etc., where in the previous quarter we had 243 murders happening at such places, and we also had 3,262 of the murders that had happened at places where they sell alcohol. So, as I've indicated, what we observe here is inherent from the general population and mostly has to do with the social aspect of our communities in terms of abuse of alcohol, abuse of children, the places where the rapes and the murders are happening. It's all about the social indoctrination of our communities. Then there was a question that was asked relating to why did we not talk about the murders that happened at schools and the rapes that happened at special schools, etc. And my response to that is that in this presentation, I think it was we mentioned it in quarter one. One needs to acknowledge that there are so many variables which analysis can be done from. One can look at the place of occurrence. One can look at the circumstances around what led to the crimes, etc. And in the statistics that we presented in the court, we were very specific in terms of the variable that we looked for was rapes and murders that happened at schools. That's why we could then be in a position to then indicate that these are the total number of rapes that happened at schools. These are the total number of murders that happened at schools. But in this presentation, we did not go into looking at the places of occurrence, but we tried to look at the causative factors which lead to these murders that we are observing. And if you look at slide 13, we saw that some of the circumstances include and not limited to domestic dispute. That will be instances where the mother and the father are involved. We also looked at the arguments and misunderstanding, bullying at schools. We tried to cover it, and gang-related. And gang-related, as you see here, most of the murders that were gang-related are exclusively reported in the province of the Western Cape. This is also reflected when you look at the total population. Most of the murders that happened that are gang-related are almost exclusively, or 90% of these murders happen within the province of the Western Cape. And whatever you see that is represented in the overall population of the states is a mirror reflection of what happens to our children. Then on the, I think it's the last question that I think maybe second last. I think there was the issue of kidnappings. We did not look into kidnappings, because what we tried to do here, we tried to only look at where there were more incidences whereby it was indicated that these were the circumstances, because the analysis that we do is informed by what has been captured in the docket. So we will go back and look into kidnappings that included children, etc. But when for the national population, we covered those kidnappings. It's just that we need to go back and specify in which circumstances and instances were the victims' children. We can make that available. And then on the last question regarding the Enyobeni, where the 21 children died, I am not quite sure in terms of whether there was a decision that was made that there was an unlawful act, there was the intention, etc. But if that decision has been made that the elements of crimes were met when this particular crime was committed, then with all due respect, it would be, have been included. But if it was captured as an inquest, then it would have been captured under inquest statistics. I think those are the questions that I can remember that were posed in terms of the statistics. If there's anything that I might have missed that is of importance, I would be reminded, and then I'll do my best to answer those. I thank you, Chair.
General Pinas.
Thank you, General, and thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm going to try and deal with the questions that spoke to what is our approach or our strategy for dealing with violence against children, in particular also children who are vulnerable because they are disabled or they are from groups that has multiple factors that contribute to their vulnerability. I want to say that police are part of the broader government approach to dealing with vulnerable groups, and we talk about the national strategy that deals with gender-based violence and femicide, but also deals with violence against children, and the Child Protection Committee at national level. Where the research that was referred to, what makes what contributes to vulnerability, what are factors that put children at risk, both in terms of offending and victimization, is taken into account in formulating the government's approach to dealing with violence against children. And then from that, police takes the specific factors that police must deal with. So the police interventions are part of, we must see that as part of government interventions. They're not in isolation. So we play the role that the police must play in the overall intervention, and that speaks specifically to being accessible as a police service to respond to the crimes. It speaks to the investigation of the crimes. It speaks to raising awareness in our communities about crimes that make children and families vulnerable, and what in a particular area might be risk of vulnerabilities. And obviously then capturing the information, as General Sitikuni has done, and analysing that information so that the analysis of the crime that happens also informs then our actions, both from a prevention and a response perspective. So we see child offenders. I just want to leave the question specifically dealing with child offenders and whether drugs and gangsters in parallel, we see, first of all, child offenders as part of the vulnerable group. When we say children are a vulnerable group, child victims are also child offenders, because often child offenders would have started off as being a child victim. And yes, drugs and access to drugs and gangsterism definitely are risk factors for child offenders, and we do know that the children who offend, often there is an impact on their lives of, for instance, drugs. And it might be that their family is affected by substance abuse, and that makes the child vulnerable. It might be that the child, him or herself, has got a substance abuse problem. And then gangsterism also plays a role. So, but I can't give you statistics. If that was a question, I can't give statistics. I cannot at this point give statistics on the number of children we arrest and how many of those children have got a history or was affected by drugs or gangsterism, but I can confirm that those are risk factors. And in terms of how we deal with substance abuse or let me say drugs in particular, again, police is part of the broader government approach to dealing with substance abuse prevention and the response to substance abuse. From the police side, we have a departmental drug master plan that focuses on the availability of drugs. So we look at supply reduction. And then we play a role in terms of demand reduction as well through awareness raising and the school safety programs, for instance. And we also deal with drug trafficking from both the detectives and the DPCI perspective. That plays a significant role in terms of drug trafficking, and that is part of the supply reduction program as well. So our intervention as the police is seen as part of the broader National Drug Master Plan approach, but we focus specifically on supply reduction. Then in terms of the access to services, police has 1,162 police stations, as well as satellite police stations, contact points, and we also use mobile services to make our police more accessible, but we also have the Crime Stop toll-free line, 0800-1111, that can be called by anybody who wants to report crime or wants to seek help. We also have the MySAT app that provides for anonymous submission of information or asking for help. But we also work closely with other helplines like Childline that allows children to call in and provide information and get assistance through the helpline. The awareness programs in schools, we have got an ongoing program of working with schools across the country. We used to have Captain Crime Stop and Adopt a Cop. I think those were the old programs, but they have been replaced by what we call the Safe to Schools program. And what it basically means is that police stations are linked to the schools in their area. And in working with the Department of Education, we assess which of the schools are the more vulnerable schools. And then we work specifically and more intensively in those schools that are deemed more at risk. And we focus on what are the specific risk factors. So if drugs is a risk factor, we will work with the school. It will usually be a school safety committee that will be linked to the school governing body. And we will then have drug searches, for instance, in the school. But that is worked out at a local level with the specific school community, so that what we do is appropriate in terms of the children or in the school, the ages of the children, and any awareness or information we give in that school is worked out with the school governing body and the school safety committee, so that we don't come into a school and give inappropriate information or intervention. The 200 schools nationally have been prioritized for the national police and monitoring, but we do that at a local level. So at each of the 1,162 police stations, they will work with the schools in their area, and they are supposed to have ongoing work done in the schools. And then in terms of the awareness programs by the police, yes, we do in child protection week, you will see more of a high-profile intervention from national level, but at local level, we are required to continue doing awareness work on an ongoing basis. So every month, the police stations are required to do what we call, it could be a street imbizo, it could be a community meeting, it could be a school meeting, but we're supposed to, on an ongoing basis, engage with our community. We do that with our community police forums. So this is not work that ever stops. It must continue on an ongoing basis at a police station level. But the national interventions is built on top of the local interventions. And those are usually the interventions led by, for instance, the minister and the deputy minister. But those are not the only interventions. I think it's important that we say that the minister and the deputy minister work with us to develop a plan. And in terms of that plan, every police station is required to do crime awareness. And then the police stations that have been identified as the high-risk police stations, our police stations where most, for instance, of the crimes against women and children are recorded, they have to do more intensive crime awareness work. They've been given a target. I think they have to do 10 awareness projects per quarter. So we give them specific targets that they must adhere to. I wanted to just speak very briefly then to cybercrime to say that there is now, after the adoption of the implementation of the cybercrime legislation, we do now have a cybercrime program in the police, and a big focus of that is to look at the analysis of crimes that are reported to the police so that we can then do prevention and awareness work informed by what is actually happening. So if, for instance, we pick up that cyberbullying is an issue, then we can intervene in terms of what we pick up from our analysis, and we can intervene in a specific area with specific stakeholders. If we find that there is a particular concern in terms of social media and information that's shared or that might be seen as targeting children, we can monitor that and intervene. I can unfortunately not answer on the question of the software, but we will follow that up and provide a written response. And then the issue of 1-1-1-1, yes, I know the media reports refer to. We have subsequently, based on those reports, but also because that is a concern that we've identified in the police, launched an intervention program with 1-1-1-1 that the president's office and private business is also involved in, where we are going to be looking at the comprehensive overhaul of the 1-1-1-1 call center and our emergency response center approach. We're doing that with the assistance of the Department of Communications and Technology as well, because we're looking at the different emergency call lines that we've got in the country and how we can make sure that 1-1-1-1 is fully effective across the country, and that we, from the police, can ensure that people who need the police can contact us and we can respond. Okay, then in terms of the network for online child sexual abuse, that is a program that is in process in the police, and SAPS is working with Interpol to establish that network so that we can respond to cases of sexual abuse that are reported online. Chairperson, I hope that I have not left out too many questions. I will hand back to you, Honourable Chairperson. To the General.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also try to respond to some of the questions. The very first question was most of the kids that were killed seem to be in the Western Cape, and what is it that the police are doing? Chairperson, we went with the minister last week I just forgot the name, I was trying to reach out for my notes, but we went there, and it was in the morning, it was something like midday, and the kids were not at school. And the minister basically was asking, he asked the parents a question and said, why are these kids here? They were saying that, no, because of if they go to school and as they come back, they find that there is a shootout, our children get caught in a crossfire, and most of them, we find that they get killed in between. And that is why they are not going to school. And the minister instructed that a mobile police station be erected. It was just in a circle there around that area that was mostly affected. So it was going to address that part of the violence against children. But I just want to indicate the chair that how we're dealing with drugs pandemic as the South African Police Service. We do have a hotline, and our intelligence are hard at work identifying all the drug lords, and including the drug labs. So we've arrested a number of them, Chair, that we are taking to court. And we've also met with the National Liquor Trading Association. They are part of us. We've partnered with them as well. You understand that they're also going around in the different locations, making sure that they
visit the taverns to look for issues like the trading hours, compliance in terms of the trading hours, the underage children, and what is it that they can do to make sure that they protect the children. And they're also addressing the illegal shipping. We've got a number of programs in school where we're visiting the schools as well. And we have officials also appointed that visit the school, just go and check with the kids, how are they and everything. But we also try to make sure that we allow kids to be kids and schools to operate freely without much intervention or interference from the police side. The schools have their respective programs also where they make sure that they have someone from social development who will attend to such kind of issues without the police being there all the time, because you've got to allow police and schooling to take place freely. In one of the portfolio committees, chair, we got a question that says, what are we doing with kids that are hanging around the spaza shops and liquor places when they are kids and they are young? And that's when a response came in as well that says that, look, we are trying our best as the police to make sure that we attend to this, but we need all hands on deck. We need a holistic approach. We also need parents to play the part. Because if parents, my child is your child, if as a parent you see these kids also are like, I mean, playing around there, they are sitting there in front of a shebeen or in front of a spaza shop all day long, we need as parents to also do something to just try and make sure that we also take charge as parents. And when it comes to, I'm just trying to navigate through my notes, chairperson. Please bear with me. Okay. Now we see more and more of police killing wives and children. I don't think it's a police issue alone. When you look at the statistics, in fact, we've got a lot, and 95% basically where kids die in the hands of their parents, their relatives, and sometimes out of a crossfire. Yes, we will acknowledge that there are those police individuals who find that there is a problem at home. And sometimes it's a problem that nobody anticipated. That's something that just come up. But I can say the police from their side, they do have a department that deals with the police stress level and how to support them emotionally whenever they have got crisis situations, even at home. But I can safely say, Chair, that when you look at the kids that die, mostly it will be like your gangsterism, as a result of gangsterism or as a result of the challenges in the society, where you find that the socio-economic challenges that the parents are experiencing are the cause of the problem. Let us take for an example the lady who took Retex, who fed the children with Retex and then killed herself because she had a problem. Some of the problems was like, we're laying here hungry and we can't support these kids and they are suffering and the father left us. It's things like those, Chair. But I can safely say that as the police, I am not going to sit here and try to defend, because the bottom line, this is a national crisis and we've got to all work together to make sure that we come up with anything that can assist to remedy the situation, Chair. When it comes to school children hanging around crime prevention hotline, we do have a crime prevention hotline in relation to reporting drug laws. And wherever there are drugs or maybe drug labs, and it's fully operational. We also have My Subs app. My Subs app, when you press into My Subs app on Google, and as it opens, it gives you a whole number of other assistance, form of assistance that you can get, whether it's ambulance, whether it's police, whether it's everything is stated there, and the number is 086-00-10111. Once you get into that, you'll see that you find you'll see a lot of assistance that you can get there, Chair. And I don't know. Chair, I do know that the honourable member, the last one to speak, Chair, made a lot of valid questions, gave us a lot of valid questions that needs to be responded to. Some of the questions, as we responded and prepared the presentation according to what was reported when it comes to the invite, but maybe some of them, Chair, we may have to respond in writing where we punch them the way the questions came so that we respond adequately, Chair, rather than just attempting to respond for the sake of getting it done. Chair, I don't know if there's any specific question that you would want me to respond to in terms of how we assisted, we tried to respond, Chair. Hello, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much for responding.
Chair is breaking terribly. We can't hear, Chair. I don't know if it means it's
out. But I just want to... Am I also? Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Hello?
Yes, I was saying yes. I've got the last question, even if they can provide the answer in writing.
Yes, meeting.
Yes, I'm asking, as the police, they are doing this depressing work, like us as the social development. I just wanted to check if on their strategy, do they have a plan whereby they can, on their own, make sure that they hire the social worker, because even us as the DSD, social development, we are having a serious challenge because we are called everywhere. We take the responsibility everywhere. So sometimes we are able to make sure that the police get the social worker at the immediate effect. Do they have on their own plan that they will hire the social worker? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mitzi. Maybe can I also check with the commissioner whether...
Sorry, Chairperson.
I know for a fact that on the... Yeah?
Sorry, Chairperson, you know, I just want to ask...
Hello.
The last question I forgot about, the last question. We've seen on TV for a few months that children are being kidnapped, and then they ask ransom for these children. What is the police saying about that one? Because it's becoming more and more on a daily basis. Thank you, Chair. Sorry for this.
However, from the 8th of August, I know there was an event where the president tell us that as women, now that we are experiencing loss of GBVQ, why can't we have, in fact, he was not asking, but he was telling us that in each and every police station, we must have an office that deals with the GBV cases. So in each and every police station, it means therefore, in the whole country, in each police station, there needs to be a GBV office where they are going to deal with only GBV cases. Are they aware of that or not? And also, please also assist in answering the questions of the Honorable Mayor. Members, if you are unable to give a specific answer for now, you are free to do a written response. It's not a matter that you are forced and bound to answer right now. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we do have social workers that work for the police and its capacity, a satisfactory capacity that is there, adequate enough to deal with the challenges that are facing the police. And we also have, forensic social workers that assist in criminal cases for children.
That is why we also have victim-friendly offices where, for an example, when a child is going through, let's say, some form of abuse and is brought to a police station, there's a victim-friendly office where you can take a child and the child will immediately feel comfortable, because when you look at the surroundings, what is there, is where you see that it is, this one is like at crash and specifically designed to calm the children down. But we do have experts that are trained that deals with such cases, Chair. But even for the police, those that are going through stress, as soon as it gets to the attention of the management will do something about it. They will ensure that they get assistance for the particular member. It's just that some of the issues, Chair, obviously the police will never be able to police even deep in the location or in the informal settlement, where you find that the person wakes up now and shoots at the wife. Or maybe even when you come to the police, you find that there is a situation where they are fighting and both of them are police officials and one of them, they draw guns against each other, things like those. These are some of the things that causes the management to every now and then make sure that they debrief their members, they speak to their members, and they encourage their members to visit the EHW to make sure that they speak to the social worker to just get to hear how they feel and how can this be supported, Chair. Is there any other question, Chair, that I must respond to?
No, not necessarily, but I was asking that, are you aware that the President has given an instruction that each and every police station must have an office meant for the GBV cases, so as to be able to prioritize these cases? Because at times women are scared to go to police stations because they happen to be in a mockery situation and not being able to be assisted. Are you aware of that? And are there police stations in the country that have able to establish those offices that are solely made for the GBV cases?
We are aware, Chair, and we would in fact want to invite the committee at some point when the committee makes time so that we can go show you the one of the victim support centers that we have, Chair.
Where are you able to share that in writing in terms of telling us the police stations and probably the provinces that we have managed to do that, so that because we belong to most of the provinces and we are able to send the information to CPOs, that is the members of parliament, to go at least and visit those offices and check whether are they doing enough or not.
We'll put it in writing, Chair, and the Chair can tell me how many would they want to visit, so that at least we quickly just make sure that in terms of the logistics and the distances, but the Chair can tell us how many.
No, it's not a matter of how many. It's a matter of which ones have been established in which provinces. Because if you know us, we are coming from different provinces and we are able to share the information with the honorable members in their constituencies. So it won't be us necessarily that go and visit those, but it will be members of parliament through our committee. So the ones that you are able to, maybe you can request the information from provinces, and then you know as national which offices and in which provinces have you managed to establish that. If you can share that information, it will also assist us.
I will respond in writing, but all stations are supposed to have one, and they do have, but we will respond in writing and then just maybe for... the indication I was trying to get was whether we should do it in Gauteng, PE or wherever.
In all provinces, if you are able to get the information from different provinces, because you are not going to go by yourself, but you will request the information from different provinces, and they are able to tell you about that. Whilst I was saying we are approaching this 16 days of activism, months, then we are supposed to inform other members about that. They are going to do a program on that of visiting some of the police stations and ask their challenges and also their achievements in terms of this. Honorable members, do you still want to make a follow-up so that we can finish this? Is it a legacy hand from Honorable Mangani and Honorable Mhlongo, or is it a new hand?
Mine is not a legacy hand, Chair. It's a new hand.
Okay. Over to you, Chair.
Regarding the question that was raised by one of the honorable members on what are the police doing in terms of kids that are underage and found in places where they are not supposed to be, the response was that parents must also play a role and we must all be in this together in order to fight this certain crime and whatnot and whatnot. Now, Chair, my question would be, it's a follow-up question. It is said that the law of South Africa says that alcohol should not be sold, for instance, to a person under the age of this age, 18, 21. But then you find that these kids are being sold alcohol. What are the police doing to those that are selling to the underage kids? Do they do something? Because as it stands, nothing is being done. And also the issue of unlicensed taverns, Chair. And then also, Chair, not that I'm standing with that here, but I must say that serving in the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, I am aware of the victim rooms in every police station, victim-friendly rooms in every police station. They are there. We do oversight from that committee, so most of them have them. Maybe the challenges in some are that some are not fully equipped to accommodate the victims, but mostly in most police stations across the country, they are there, Chair. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Let's give over to the commissioner. Can we give over to the general?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, as I indicated earlier, that in relation to what are the police doing to ensure that those people who are sending kids to go buy alcohol, or there should be kings and queens that are selling alcohol and then allowing the situation where a kid has been sent to come and buy. Where it comes to our attention, we immediately act. We've partnered with the Liquor Trading Association to understand that they've got teams that are operating on the ground to make sure that they visit the shebeens to see if they operate according to the trading hours, there's compliance in every respect, especially selling liquor or alcohol to the underage. And then also dealing with the illegal shebeens, but they make sure that there's absolute 100% compliance. That is how far the police are gone to make sure that these people that are issuing their licenses, they are also taking a responsibility and they are accountable to their actions. So now as the police, we have a number of projects that among others is this one where we invited the Liquor Traders Association to be part of us to work with them in attending to such type of challenges, Chair. Over and above the awareness campaign where we engage the community, we engage the parents, we engage all the other role players that are needed. And to an extent that, hence we are also calling for other, also where we say we need all hands on deck. We need to have a holistic approach, all of us facing the problem and dealing with the challenge, all of us, including parents, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any other follow-up question, Honourable Member?
follow-up questions?
No, Chair, we heard the answers that they've got. It's just what you have requested. We would like to have that in writing, the one that you requested. Because when we talk here, we need to be specific. So we wanted to be specific when we talk to them again and tell them there and there is lacking of 1, 2, 3. There and there, they are not adhering to what the national are adhering. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Mangeni. And now, comrade, your honorable members, we seem to have finished. To honorable, thank you. Thank the commissioner, the colonel of the positions. I'm sorry to mix masala them, but they understand me. I am not familiar with this position, but I know that there is someone who is heading them or leading them in terms of that. We wish to thank and we are very excited and happy that you have managed to give yourself time to put us at ease so that we know, as we know that you can't fight that alone. We have to join hands as the communities, as government, and also there is that department that is sensitive and very, very important in terms of assisting you as police, who is not having a license, who is having an illegal job. Illegal business in terms of the alcohols. But now, it is strange that the taverns and also these spaza shops that are selling drugs are just in front of the school. And there is a saying, Commissioner, that is saying, where the drugs are being sold, you will see a turkey on top of the roof or somewhere in the electric pillar. They show that with the techie, they will allow the sellers of drugs in terms of putting that techie. And then the police will just pass by these techies. Why? They know that there is such say of these techies are the meanings and the sort of a direction where the drugs are being sold. So we want you to be assisted with us and also with the one that are responsible for issuing the license, not to issue licenses next to schools, next to churches, next to a particular place where it's not supposed to be. We hope that all the best to you, and we hope that we will work hand in glove by assisting you. Thank you ever so much. You are released. We will ask questions if there is a need. It doesn't mean that we have finished engaging you in some of other issues that are very terrible. And this thing of this thing of trafficking, human trafficking, is starting to be increasing again and again. So you have to be vigilant on that and also be interested. But we are worried in terms of the police that are being killed also in some instances when they are trying to assist our community. And maybe we should give you a provision in terms of reviving that thing that used to be called a police forum. Those things were assisting a lot in terms of, because the communities, sometimes it's our kids that are doing these ills and we don't report them. Sometimes cases are being discharged from the justice or magistrates because there is not enough information in terms of that. Let's hope for the best, even ourselves as communities. We will change on how we do things and try to assist our police, because it's our police of our nation. Thanks.
suffer so much with those words I was trying to make you feel free in terms of informing us about the updates and also communicating freely with us, knowing that we are just behind you. Thank you ever so much. You are excused. We are going to continue with the internal matters of our meeting.
Thank you, Chair. We are leaving.
See you later. Thank you. Honorable members, let's proceed with the agenda. I know for a fact what is left behind now is the minutes, 3 sets of minutes. Chile, can you try and flight the first set of minutes?
Good morning, Chair. I will assist in that regard, Chair.
We don't assist, but flight them so that we can be able to go through them and tell us the date.
Yes, what I was trying to say, Chair, I will be presenting on behalf of the students.
Okay.
Okay. Can you see the minutes on the screen, Chair? The 11th of October.
Yes.
Okay.
We are able to see them. Yes.
Okay. Chair, this was the meeting that we had with the AG, the department and SASA, where the AG presented its report on the audit findings of the social development sector as a whole. And thereafter, we had a briefing on the annual reports of the DSD and SASA. These are the members that were present on the day. As they are shown, you, Chairperson, Member Stock, Member Peterson, Member Longo, Member Manganye, Member Masango, Member Abrahams, Member Avis, Member Murray, Member
Chiega, don't read the members. We are able to see as we have flighted. Just say that all those that have been listed were the ones that were present. And please continue to the content.
Okay. Is the auditor speaking, Chair? All right. Okay, Chair, the apologies were also recorded as reflected on the minutes. And the agenda was also adopted. Why do I have these ones now? Oopsie, it looks like I've opened the ones that have check records, Chair. Can I just quickly change to go to the ones that are were edited, Chair? This one still has check records.
Mm-hmm.
Apologies for that. I think I opened the wrong one. Yeah, it's computers, they have a way of just hiding things. I have opened these minutes, but I don't see them on the screen. Just reduce the number of things that I see.
Can
you see them now? Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair, they're in the PDF format. Okay. Not in the Word format. Okay. All right. And then, Chairperson, we had a briefing from the AG on the audit outcomes, which I think the members they know more details about that. I don't think I need to go through that again. Because we engaged with the presentation, and then we had two presentations then, Chair, on the annual reports of the DSD and the SASA. And then, Chair, just to mention that the deliberation on this day were captured in the BRRR that the committee adopted, and it was 80 seats last week already. So these minutes, Chairperson, are basically about the meeting that took place on the 11th of October, Chairperson, without going into much detail.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's get the honorable member who adopts these minutes as true reflection. Honorable member, over to you.
I have read the minutes. They reflect what we talk about.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Any second up to the minute of the 11th? Hello? Honorable members, I want a second.
Chairperson, I second the proposal of Comrade Mary. I second the proposal of Comrade Mangai.
Thank you very much, honorable member. The minutes have been seconded by Polnit. Was that Polnit?
No, Chair, it was Member Peterson.
Peterson.
Oh, Medzi. Thank you.
Your line was very bad, so we couldn't hear you.
Adopted and also, can you fly to them, Tilega? That's my line. Yoli?
Yes, we didn't hear anything that you just said.
Okay, I said the minutes have been adopted.
Okay. Then I will proceed to the second
set. Also seconded by me. Chair, I'm looking for the second set.
Okay, sir. These were the minutes for the 18th chair, but I must also fly the 13th. It's just that, these are just managed to share them here, Chair, but it is the 13th of October. I'm going to do after this one. This was a meeting we had, Chair, last week where the committee adopted the RRR, and then it considered the fourth term committee program, and then on the agenda was also the adoption of the minutes. These are the members who were present on the day. And I hope the members went through, and if they have any corrections to make, please let me know, members. Then we had an apology from Member Sukers, who couldn't attend because of ill health, and the adoption of the agenda. And then we had two sets of minutes that were adopted on the day, the 13th of September 2023 and the 20th of September 2023. Then the committee then adopted the BRRR with some amendments that were made on the recommendation. And then there was also the fourth term committee program that was tabled by you, Chair, and it was adopted by the committee with some amendments. This was what transpired, Chairperson, on the meeting of the 18th. I am done, Chairperson.
Yoli, I'm unable to see the minutes. What is the date?
The person we just did the 18th of October. I'm just waiting for the adoption of those minutes, and then I'll do the 13th of October.
I get anyone who adopts these minutes to later to us. I'm struggling with the network, so can we?
Yeah, members, I think Uche has just been cut out. I don't see her in the participants list. So maybe we can advise, maybe we can have an acting chair. I don't know. Let me try and call her and see if I will be able to get hold of her.
Yoli?
I think membership on the phone.
Yes, I was saying let in the chairperson. She's on the waiting. So we will proceed with the meeting while she's still struggling to be accepted in the meeting. I think where we adopting the minutes.
Yes, Namanganye, of the 18th of October. So we need a mover.
Any mover? Is there any mover, honorable members, that move for the 18, the minutes of the 18th to be adopted?
Okay, I'm moving for the adoption of the minutes of the 18th. Peterson.
Is that... Yeah, Peterson is moving. Any seconder? Thank you, Honorable Peterson. Any seconder? Any seconder of the minutes, Honorable Peterson have moved. Any seconder?
I second, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bilangulu. The minutes are seconded, and the next minutes, next sets of minutes.
Okay, Chair. The next one is on the 30th of October, Chair. That's on the Friday, where we had a briefing on the annual report of the NTA. And these were the members who were present on the day, and one member who was absent, Member Sukers. And then these are the departmental officials in attendance. Chair, just going to pass through them and ask the support staff. And then it was the apology that was recorded on behalf of Member Sukers. And there's the adoption of the agenda by you, Chairperson, and then it was seconded by Member Songo. Then we had a presentation on the annual report of the NTA. Then Chairperson, similarly to the meeting of the 11th of October, the deliberations on this meeting were captured in the BRRR, which was adopted by the committee Chairperson. And that's the end of the presentation on this minutes, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Yoli. I'm handing over to the Chair. Chairperson? Chairperson? She's gone again.
Yes, she's gone. Let me just proceed, yeah.
There are the minutes, honorable members. Any intake? Any intake for moving for the adoption of the minutes?
Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Bilankulu. Any second for the minutes?
Yeah,
I think we just remain in few. Where are the members?
Chairperson?
Hello?
Peterson,
hello.
Second proposal.
Hello? Chairperson. I'm listening.
I second the proposal of MP Bilankulu. Peterson speaking.
Thank you, Honorable Peterson. Minutes agreed to. It was that three sets of minutes, Honorable, Yoli Swa?
Yes, ma'am, it was those three.
Yoli?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. The minutes are seconded. Any other things on the agenda?
No, Chairperson, this is the last agenda item.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Yoli Swa, and thanks, the honorable members. The minutes are adopted, and the meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you.